Welcome to The Informer, Joy 94.9's nightly news and current affairs program, and your link to the stories that matter. We are committed to bringing you the day's most important news and current affairs stories from an LGBTI perspective. If it matters to the LGBTI community, we will cover it. We want to hear from you. Join the conversation, SMS 0427 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au or follow us on Twitter at The Informer Joy.
The result of the division is ayes 43, noes 12. The matter is resolved in the affirmative. The bill is passed.
It's Wednesday, the 29th of November. I'm Daniel Roberts, your host on tonight's Informer.
And I'm Darcy Meehan. On tonight's show, we're covering some big topics.
And I'm Kate Kelly.
So, Adam, you're in Canberra now. What's the vibe in Canberra since the bill has been passed through the Senate?
It's ecstatic. Just the Senate vote overwhelmingly, 43-12, to pass marriage equality laws was... it'll never happen again. This is something that only happens once, and to be there witnessing it after having been part of a movement that has pushed for so long to make this happen is just wonderful. The only, slightly sour note is that if only the House of Reps were sitting this week, we could probably pass it through by the end of the week. We're coming back next week, and I'm hoping that there won't be too many shenanigans, that the House of Representatives will respect the result, not only of the Senate, but of the vote, and that we can get on so that people can start planning their weddings before Christmas.
Are you expecting many shenanigans?
Well, we saw lots of people from the No camp move amendments and put a lot of red herring arguments about the place to try and slow the process down. It wouldn't surprise me at all if we get another run of that in the House of Representatives next week. But I would hope that sense prevails and they understand that once they've had their say that, in fact, the tide of history and the voice of the Australian people is against them, and that they allow the vote to happen in the course of the next first few days of next week.
Mr. Bant, thanks for joining us on The Informer.
And that was Adam Bant speaking to us earlier today straight from Canberra. Earlier on, you also heard our Senate representatives celebrating the passing of Dean Smith's marriage equality bill. On tonight's show, we are bringing you all the important analysis and opinion from the community as we dissect this historic news.
We'll also be talking about the very important, though not heavily covered, issue of breast screenings for the trans community. Darcy will be talking to Vicky Pridmore, the CEO of Breast Screen Victoria, about what exactly a breast screen entails and how you raise awareness of their importance within the trans community. A big show ahead.
But first, to the Senate, where a certain bill did today what no other bill, or at least the last 20 bills, have done. It passed. This, of course, a major milestone for marriage equality in this country, and encourages hopes that marriage equality may be a thing here in Australia before Christmas. It's happening, people.
That's right. The cross-party bill was passed 43-12 votes, a resounding win for Team Marriage Equality. Earlier today, Dan and I spoke to BuzzFeed's Lane Sainty, who has covered this whole thing from the beginning, about what the vibe was like in Canberra when the bill passed.
All right, Lane, the bill has just been passed through the Senate. What's the vibe in Canberra?
The vibe in Canberra is pretty joyous. As soon as the vote passed, there were, obviously celebrations in the chamber. The public galleries stood up and applauded. The senators who voted for the bill kind of all celebrated together on the floor. There were lots of hugs. There were tears. There were also a bunch of advocates sitting up the back, people from the Equality Campaign, Australian Marriage Equality, reps from Just Equal. And then, the senators who had voted yes and the LGBTI senators jumped up the back and had some kind of hugs and celebrations there as well. And then everyone kind of moved outside for a big press conference. So a lot of joy, a lot of happiness, a lot of relief, I think, that the bill got through without any of the amendments.
And what was, Lane, you've seen a lot of sort of memorable things and very emotional things today. What was for you the most kind of heartwarming moment?
Today?
Yeah, just today.
The final speeches before the vote actually occurred were pretty great. I think one thing in particular that was quite nice that I noticed is that there was a round of applause for each senator who is themselves gay or lesbian or bisexual, which was very nice. Senator Smith had a very good speech as well. He kind of rounded up what the debate has meant to him and what he thinks it has showed. So I suppose those little set of speeches would be the nicest thing from today.
Len, you particularly mentioned a portion of George Brandis's speech on Twitter. I'm wondering if any politicians have come out, in your opinion, looking better than they had before all this.
Don't know. That's a tough question. I mean, I did think that Brandis's speech was very powerful and tweeted about that, and then got a bit of criticism from people saying, you know, George Brandis set this postal survey in motion and he has no right to, you know, now talk about how young LGBTI people are struggling. I don't really agree with that. I understand that argument, but I think it is not, I suppose, I think it is fine for him to both have pushed the survey through and then also to have felt it was necessary and good to make those kinds of assertions and statements in his speech. I don't know if I would say he comes out of it looking better or worse or a sweeping thing like that, but just that simply it was a very good speech. It was a very powerful speech, and I felt very lucky that I was able to be there in the chamber to witness it.
Lane, today in Parliament, a few people sported rainbow kind of gear. There was, I think, Adam Bant wore rainbow shoes. Darren Hinch notably wore a rainbow scarf. Sarah Hanson-Young wore a rainbow dress. In your personal opinion, who wore it best?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. It was Richard Di Natale in the rainbow shoes, I think. And then Janet Rice had a flag around her neck at some point. I think I'll go with the rainbow flags around the neck because they are quite striking and a bit.
All right. Lock it in.
Right there. Yeah.
Lane, how quickly are you expecting this all to be done by next week?
Oh, that is the question that I am kind of refusing to answer because the answer is really that I just don't know. I think there'll be a lot of speeches in the House. So obviously there are fewer senators than there are House MPs. There's 150 in the House. Well, you know, there's a few off fighting by-elections at the moment, but, you know, generally speaking, there's 150 MPs in the House. So many of those people will want to have their say. And then after that, there could be amendments moved. The amendments moved through the Senate relatively quickly. It took about a day and a half to get through and vote down all the amendments, but the numbers in the Senate were quite clear-cut. We don't know yet if that will be the case for the House. So my answer is just that I don't know, but those are the two things that they kind of have to get through before voting. So all of the speeches and then potentially amendments, but we haven't seen the text or being given kind of formal notice of any amendments that might be moved in the House yet.
Well, Lane, we're your biggest fangirls and we'll be watching you, everything that you produce next week. Thanks for joining us on The Informer. That was Kate and I talking to BuzzFeed's Lane Sainty earlier. I want you to imagine that for a second that you have been campaigning for this, a marriage equality bill getting through Australian Parliament for almost two decades, that your marriages had in fact been the ones that prompted Howard to change the Marriage Act in the first place.
That as you had been fighting for the right to marry the person you'd been with for years, that you'd also been watching your sons and daughters grow up. Imagine for a second if you've been fighting for this from the beginning. Well, earlier today, Dan and Kate spoke to Jason Twazon McSheen and Jackie Tomlins, who attempted to marry their same-sex partners back in 2003 and started this whole thing.
I feel quite elated, to be honest. Ever since the yes vote the other Wednesday, weight came off of my husband and my shoulders after carrying it for 18 years, and I am glad to see that. I would have liked it to have been higher than 61.6%, but that it was such a strong vote that it's forced the Senate to pass it, 42-11 or something today, 3-1, and to deal with it in 2 days and to get that through. And I feel really pleased that no further amendments were passed and that a bill that only has a grandfather clause for celebrants. I'm a marriage celebrant as well. So only current celebrants, the few handfuls that are bigots, can become religious celebrants or non-gay marrying celebrants, but then that ended. No future celebrant can discriminate. And I feel really pleased about that, and I'm excited. I'm going to go up with my husband and son next Tuesday to Thursday, hopefully for the lower house passing of the final vote to put it into law?
I am feeling extremely good right now. I'm actually at work, so I spent the last hour between about 1 and whatever it was, 2, hiding in a meeting room with my phone watching the Senate debate. And, you know, and just deleting it or silencing it when it was Erica Betts and various other people. But absolutely fantastic to watch and a fantastic result, really good numbers, and feeling really quite relieved and pretty psyched up right now.
When we asked what they expected Canberra had next in store for the Marriage Equality Bill, Jason and Jackie had this to say.
I'm expecting them to fill 2 or 3 days up of debate, even though back in 2004, when they changed the law to deny same-sex couples, our family and Jack and Sarah's family with our court case, to deny us the chance to have our Canadian marriages recognised, they had 1 hour of debate and then they canned it and voted. Instead, we have to have 13 years of campaigning, a $100 million postal survey, and then, 3 days of the Senate and probably 3 or 4 days of the lower house just to get this through. So it's going to be a bit painful. No, it's just extraordinary, isn't it?
It's so 1 hour extraordinary.
And no money. It's just mental.
Yeah, but that's because, you know, the opposition has been so effective. But what actually has happened, this is the positive spin out of this, is that we were put front and centre for 4 or 5 months, right, as a bunch of communities, and we shone with rainbows and love the whole time. The Australian people who are our friends and families and neighbours and children, yes, there's been some bad things come out of it. I don't want to diminish that at all. But overall, they were like, no, this is fair and right. We love our LGBTI family and friends, and they feel a sense of relief that our country is did the right thing. And it's I'm just really excited that that momentum and that yes day has squished the opposition. They had this other bill that Patterson put forward that week of that vote, which they kept private, and it never got to the parliament. All the amendments, and I listened to them this morning and yesterday, that Hanson and Layholm and put up, were defeated clearly, not even close. And I expect this bill, even though the Dean Smith bill is not perfect, it's okay. And I expect it to hopefully now pass next week without any further amendments. Certainly no further discriminatory amendments. And, you know, it's just very exciting to think that we're almost there after 18 years of campaigning in this space. But I just want us to get this done so we can start to talk about all the other things.
Well, look, you know, I think what we're hearing from everybody up there is that it should move through the lower house pretty easily. I think there is a sense that the right, who may have been interested in putting up various amendments, you know, have lost the will to do that, hopefully, and that may not be going through that very long debate with lots of amendments. So I've got my fingers crossed that it will actually go through pretty quickly. I mean, obviously not as quick as the Senate, because they cleared all the other government business from the Senate. So there's still other stuff that's going to be going through the lower house. And we're trying to juggle flights and accommodation and time. So pretty tricky, but I'm optimistic for next week.
We asked Jackie if they were impressed with the speed at which the bill has been passed through the Senate.
I can't answer yes to that, really. Am I impressed with that? Look, it feels like, yes, it's happened very quickly in the last few days, but that's the last few days on the back of 14 years. So,
Absolutely.
Sarah and I got married in Canada in 2003, right? And we carried our son down the aisle, who was 9 months old. And then we came back and ran that legal case with Jason in 2004, which brought about the change. And last week, my son turned 15. And as he reminds us every day, he's now taller than both of us. So, yeah, we can measure this journey for us in the entire life of my son.
And your son's height.
Yeah, that's right. So I feel like, you know, you can't tell me this is quick or sudden, or that it's all happened really quickly in the last 2 days, when I'm thinking of Corin and how tall he is, and the fact that when we started this, he was an infant.
Marriage equality is expected to be achieved next week. We finished off the interview by asking these two tireless campaigners where they'll be and what happens after.
We will do something on it's our 18th wedding anniversary on March 18th in 2018.
Aww.
So we'll do something on that day. Kind of nice. We have no money to do anything special, but we'll do something.
We'll get a possible account happening.
Yeah.
But the most exciting thing really is that the Better Together conference, which you may not have heard about or may have heard about, on in January at Melbourne Town Hall, we're going to have 400 plus people come from all over the country, from all of our spaces, all of our organisations, GLAAD, Human Rights Campaign, Stonewall, and Gandus in the Philippines. They're all coming as well, and we're going to have a discussion. The collective impact survey is being presented, which is a survey of all about 300 LGBT organisations in the country. And we're going to have a discussion around how do we work better together going forward as a collaborative movement.
Well, you know, we have reflected quite a lot on that initial legal challenge that we ran in the Victorian Family Court, or rather that we didn't run because it got knocked out by the change to the legislation that Howard brought in. And, you know, we have shared this journey together, and I think what we've been talking about specifically in the last week is the fact that we would like to be in Canberra next week for the vote. And for us, you know, and I was talking to Sarah about that this morning, you know, it feels like that completes the journey, and that will provide a little bit of closure, because we were there at the beginning and we would like to be there at the end, and probably with our kids too, if we can manage it. We would love to be there to see the result, and that's and you know, Jason and Adrian, we ran that legal case with them, and they now have a son, Ruben, who's also, you know, Saul. Yeah. So for us, it would be fitting to share that experience with them.
Well, I hope you can. You can all meet in Canberra, have a celebratory drink, and then probably sleep for a few years.
Yeah.
I imagine.
Yeah, I think so. Well, you know, I think we have a little break, and then it's all going to kick off. Something will kick off. But yeah, while I've got you, we are running a GoFundMe campaign, which is up and running at the moment, which is being run by Sarah Marlowe. You can Google it, which is just going to help a few people to get up there. What we'd really like is to have, you know, rainbow families have had a significant role in all of this, led by Felicity Marlowe, who runs Rainbow Families Victoria, and we would love to get Flip up there as well, and a few other people, to have rainbow families represented, and to have a bit more, you know, to have that kind of community grassroots representation on the day when it all kicks off. So if anybody can help us out with that, that would be really cool. But, you know, we're going to go up there anyway somehow. Come hell or high water, we'll be in Canberra next week for the vote.
And just the name of that campaign once again, so people know where to go and find it.
Yeah, it's on GoFundMe. And if you, I don't know if you know what the title is. I was trying to find it before I came on air, but Sarah Marlowe, M-A-R-L-O-W-E. She set it up, so if you Google her name, it will come, and it's on the Rainbow Families site on Facebook. So it should be going around. But GoFundMe.
That was Kate and I talking to Jackie Tomlins and Jason Twazigan-Shing earlier.
Now, the Senate spent 5 days debating this bill, and there were some downright weird amendments different senators tried to patch onto it. Aside from the regular religious exemptions that always get a mention, it was debated whether there should be two different definitions of marriage, because after a $100 million postal survey, that would definitely make sense. But we're here. And now we just have to wait with anticipation to see what happens in the House of Reps.
Right now in Melbourne, Breastscreen Victoria is holding a very important event. They recently ran a study on the issues and experiences of trans and gender diverse people with breast screenings. Now, I was a bit of a loss when I first decided to cover this important story. To be honest, I had no idea what a breast screening even was. So that was the first question I put to CEO of Breast Screen Victoria, Vicky Pridmore.
All good questions if you've never had any exposure to breast screen. So breast screen offers throughout Australia, and here in Victoria I manage it, offers free breast cancer screening every 2 years our target age 50 to 74, although you can get breast cancer at any age. Being a woman and growing older are the main risk factors. And so this year in the state of Victoria, we're aiming to screen about 260,000 women.
Wow.
And, you know, that grows year on year on year. And I think part of why we're pleased to be able to have the opportunity to speak with you today, Darcy, is that we know there's some real differences in people from smaller groups within the population who actually don't screen as often or at all as more mainstream Anglo 60-year-old woman, if you like.
Right.
And so we're particularly, in this instance, we're particularly keen to make our services or to understand how to make our services more accessible for trans and gender diverse people. And we've been working with TGV to achieve this, and we're aiming for a rainbow tick, which is the accreditation status to get to show that you are in fact trans and gender diverse inclusive in how you operate your service.
So do most clinics typically accommodate trans people?
In theory, they all accommodate trans people,
mm-hmm.
But it's about trying to get that message out so that trans people are comfortable to walk through the door. And I think what we're thinking about doing, and we'll follow through on this, is in fact to identify the Rose Clinic, which is the clinic inside DJ's in the mall, to identify that as our first formal trans and gender diverse clinic, so that people who would like to attend for screening can be very confident that all of the staff have been well trained and will offer a service that is in fact totally inclusive.
Great. And talking about the risk of breast cancer, when it comes to transgender people, is there a high risk, or what are we looking at?
Oh, okay. Good questions again. Well, look, the highest risks are around being female and ageing. So that's
right.
Where the bulk of breast cancers occur. But there's actually quite limited research and information about risk for TGD people. But what we do know is that hormone therapy increases breast cancer risk. So in the trans and gender diverse population, in the mainstream population as well, and that recent guidelines out of America and Canada recommend that trans women over 50 be offered 2 yearly screening after they've had 5 years of hormone use. And so we're essentially adopting that position in our policy documentation and in our training. I think the other thing is that we know that many people in the TGD community actually may have slightly higher risk behaviours. So, and by that I mean smoking, higher rate of alcohol consumption, perhaps not taking care of their diet or their exercise as well as they might because there are other stresses happening. And all of those sort of lifestyle factors add additional sort of, they're small, but they are additional layers of risk. And they're actually factors that all of us can manage in many ways. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. And I guess do the same rules apply for a trans woman with getting breast screening? Is it something that you want to get done, you know, bi-yearly or at the age of 50 or before that?
After 5 years, for a trans woman, we'd say after 5 years of hormone treatment. So that's the sort of working rule. But I think coming along, before that and getting to understand the system and the clinics and how they work and what they feel like and what the people, you know, how the people respond to you and what they ask you and just building up that level of confidence is not a bad way to go. But we, you know, our formal line, our public line would be after 5 years of HRT, really.
Right.
And so that's for trans women. For trans men, I mean, we have invited trans men along to our event tonight, which is on at the Rose Clinic as well. But there's a whole range of other issues because we know, you know, we've had some surveys, and one of the quotes we got back, which just makes me want to cry, was, "I'd rather have cancer and die than have a mammogram with my original chest." You know, and so these are this is a very difficult group to say we want to help you protect, you know, and look after your own health in a way that is most comfortable for you. And it may be that getting the information out there is enough so that if they have a trusted health professional, that prompts them to at least go along to their GP and have a chat. So we are hoping that both trans women and trans men and other members of the TGD community come along tonight for our forum at the Rose Clinic. And because we have committed to, in fact, having that conversation, both in formal ways and less formal ways, we've got a survey, which I think we put up on Joy, because I spoke with Cass and Macca on their segment last Saturday, and they put up our survey for us on the Joy site and also some information around the event that's happening tonight, because we've got Rowena Allen coming along to, and also Ruth McNair and Catherine Barrett, who are going to talk about, they're going to lead a discussion basically around the results we've had from our survey and what we understand to be the barriers and what we'd like to hear are really the barriers for community to be involved and to talk about some strategies or to give us some strategies, us being BreastScreen, for increasing screening by TGD people.
That was Darcy with BreastScreen Victoria CEO Vicky Pridmore earlier. And that's it for another episode of The Informer. We'll be back tomorrow bringing you all the day's news and current events from an LGBTIQA perspective. A podcast of tonight's episode will be available to download at joy.org.au or on your preferred podcast platform. I'm Kate Kelly.
I'm Darcy Meehan.
And I'm Dan Roberts. Up next is the news headlines, followed by Unicorn Youth.